The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us shortly will be Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And I just want to start off today that we see a lot of patients with a diagnosis of cancer who choose not to go the traditional route. And by that I mean, I guess a better way of saying it, the mainstream medicine approach, which is surgery and then chemotherapy and radiation. And it's almost every week, we see a new patient who wants to do something differently because in doing their own research, they're not convinced that that approach works. Now, surgery might be acceptable. I remember the book written by Patrick Quillen gave high marks to surgery if you can catch the cancer early and remove it in its entirety. But still, there's no guarantee that you haven't left any cells behind. And that's the rationale that mainstream medicine uses for chemotherapy and radiation. So what they say is, even though we think we've gotten everything, just to be sure, let's do some radiation and chemotherapy. However, the report card on that approach just isn't that good. So they come here looking for alternatives. Now, had a patient yesterday telling me her story, and she said she asked the doctor, why did I get this cancer? And the doctor's response was, bad luck. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't the only doctor that would have had that response. So my response to that response is, how can I feel confident that you can successfully treat my cancer if you don't know the cause of it and you don't know how to prevent it, but you want me to believe that you can actually treat it? And this is sort of a recurring theme that we want mainstream medicine to treat us, which is really the wrong approach anyway. We want mainstream medicine to cure us, and that just isn't happening. And I think that's what confusing those words, treatment and cure. And we think they're synonymous, but they really aren't. Mainstream medicine treats everything, but they really cure very little. In fact, if you need a cure, it's up to the individual to be able to cure themselves, sometimes with the help of mainstream medicine, sometimes despite what mainstream medicine does. So the approach we take here is, and by the way, you know, allopathic doctors are not allowed to offer any alternatives to the treatment of cancer. I mean, the approach is surgery, chemo, radiation. That's it. That's the choices people have. But we look for the underlying reasons why people may have developed that cancer, and we like to remove them. And to me, that makes perfect sense. If you remove the cause of a problem, you give the body a chance to recover. With mainstream medicine's approach, they don't remove the cause. They don't even look for the cause. They just give you their treatments. And if you were to Google that, success rates treating cancer, they're not very good. So what do people have to do? And I always say, if you know, for example, statistically they say one out of two people will get heart disease. So wouldn't it make sense to try and take the steps to prevent the illness rather than wait for the diagnosis and then be forced to take steps and to take medication when it would be a lot easier, I think, to choose the prevention route? Same thing with cancer. If you understand that probably a little more than one out of three people will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime, take the steps to lower your risk. The National Cancer Institute states that approximately 40% of men and women will be diagnosed with cancer at some point in their lifetime. And perhaps the next statistic explains why nothing is being done about it. The U.S. Spends approximately $156 billion by 2020, and I'm sure that's a yearly figure. And, you know, but remember, when someone spends $156 billion, someone is making $156 billion. So why would someone want to lose $156 billion? As reported in the New York Times, they stated the lifestyle choices are more important than genetics when it comes to developing cancer. A lot of times the doctor will say, well, bad luck or bad genes, but they never say bad lifestyle choices, if you really want to know. They never say that, and they certainly never go into what those lifestyle choices are that increase your risk of developing cancer. In other words, you're not being told that you have a lot of control over what happens. So they say that even though you might have a genetic risk for cancer, it's your lifestyle choices that will activate certain genes and allow cancers to develop. Now, where is that particularly important? Because, you know, I get questions from patients about family members who have the breast cancer gene and they want to do bilateral mastectomies because they think it's a certainty that they're going to get breast cancer, and by taking the breasts off, they remove that risk. They should know that it's their lifestyle choices that determine whether they get breast cancer and not whether you have a gene. But this is the medical establishment. They're all too happy to do surgery. The other thing, you know, women go for yearly mammograms, and year after year after year, they're told, no problem, no problem, no problem. And then finally they say, oh, we have a problem. And then they move into action with the needle biopsy, and then the lumpectomy, and then the chemo and radiation. And yet the statistics associated with breast cancer really haven't moved much. But what you have to really understand is cancer doesn't appear out of nowhere, and it's not about bad luck. It develops over many years as a result of the combined effects of your lifestyle choices. And I have to add one other thing besides lifestyle choices. Lifestyle choices talk about your diet, your exercise. I have to add one thing too, and it's stress in your life. But a big component of lifestyle choices is sugar consumption. And they're saying that plays a very large role in the activation of cancer genes. So let me say that again. Sugar consumption plays a very large role in the activation of cancer genes, with sugary drinks in particular believed to fuel the growth of cancer cells. So we've tried to make that point over and over again, and you don't have to cut out sugar entirely. You just cut back. We all have room to cut back on sugar consumption. In a study that was reported in the New York Times, they found that drinking sugar-sweetened beverages, and that could be soda, but it could also be fruit juice. A lot of people don't consider, you know, they think fruit juice is healthy, it's all natural, it might even be organic, but it has just as many calories from sugar as the sugar-sweetened beverages. And they're saying that sugar-sweetened beverages are linked to an increase for example, of endometrial cancer in postmenopausal women. And this was the first study to find the same association between sugar and cancer that exists between sugar and type 2 diabetes. So I want to talk a little bit about that in particular. Type 2 diabetes is the type of diabetes that used to be called adult onset diabetes. The reason they switched it is because it's not exclusively adult onset anymore. We're seeing it in younger people. And there is a progression of that condition. And by progression, I mean, first, if you start off with a normal person, meaning your fasting blood sugar and your fasting insulin level are normal. And then the next progression is your fasting insulin levels start to go up. In other words, you're developing insulin resistance. And that can be tested for, and you could do something about it. But if you're not tested for, you're not going to know you have it, and you're not going to have symptoms from it. And then it takes many years of prolonged insulin resistance before you develop type 2 diabetes. And what is type 2 diabetes? It's a combination of insulin resistance that has led to high blood sugar levels. So why do you get high blood sugar all of a sudden? The reason is either your insulin that you're producing has become totally ineffective and the blood sugar increases, or your production of insulin starts to decline because your pancreas can't keep up with the demand. In other words, you have so much insulin resistance, it can't hold the sugar down anymore. Now the sugar creeps up. That could take 10 years or more from the time of the developing of insulin resistance to when you are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. But mainstream medicine never looks at insulin. They look at blood sugar because they don't have a drug to treat the insulin resistance, but they have a drug to treat the diabetes. And so that's all they look at. So now we have an association not just between sugar and diabetes, but between sugar and cancer. They looked at that study that was published in the journal Cancer Epidemiology, and that's, you know, in other words, what causes cancer? So Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers and Prevention has found that all sugars increase the risk for type 1 endometrial cancer, but sweetened drinks have the biggest impact of all. Those who were in the highest 20% for sweet drink consumption had a 74% higher risk of developing cancer than those in the lowest 20%. So that's a pretty strong association. So how do you cut back on sugar consumption? You try and switch to healthy water. And over time, you can make that switch. So that would be the first step. We'll continue this, because I think if we had to pick on one topic and one thing that could probably make the most impact on keeping us healthy, that's to cut back on sugar. But I hear music, which means it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet will be joining us shortly, and we'll be back right after this.
Genobiotic is a way to support your immune system, enhance the function of your digestive tract, and help to maintain regularity. One or two capsules per day provide the basic chemistry needed for healthy gastrointestinal function. Support your good health with the profile of probiotic ingredients in Genobiotic. Find out more about Genobiotic at Janazon.com.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Jana Juice is the innovative way to get the benefits of super juices in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Pomegranate benefits without the sugar. Acai, noni, goji berry in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Easy to carry with you to work, when traveling, or just too busy to juice. Antioxidant and immune support benefits in capsules. Find out more at Janazon.com.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Joining us sometime this morning will be Janice Cimarelli. I know she was at a meeting, and she'll get to us as soon as she's finished. We've been talking about the impact of sugar on the risk of developing cancer in our bodies. And here's a thought. Cancer cells actually thrive on sugar. So if you want to feed cancer, you have to, keep eating your sugar, because that'll feed the cancer cells. So if you cut back on the sugar, then you reduce the risk, and you starve the cancer cells. We do the PET scans you've heard of. Well, what do? They give radioactive or glucose, and then they do the scan. And the areas where there's cancer light up because the cancer has, absorbs, the sugar molecule, because that's what it needs to thrive. So if you cut back on the sugar, you really take a big step in reducing your risk. So they found that those who drink, and the sweetened drinks seem to be the biggest culprit, those who drink sweetened drinks on a regular basis are much more likely to develop cancer than those who don't. What does the sugar do? Besides, obviously, feeding the cancer cells, it raises insulin levels. It creates an acidic environment in the body. In other words, it creates an environment that the cancer cells thrive in. It also increases inflammation in the body. So you can see how eliminating sugar can do a lot of things. Now, in this year, approximately 1,700,000 new cases of cancer will be diagnosed in the U.S., And almost just under 600,000 Americans will die from the disease. And that's according to the National Cancer Institute. And that's why I say that statistically we're not doing a good job. Lots of people, about one-third approximately, people who get cancer, one-third of those people die from the cancer. And the most common cancers to be diagnosed this year, and it's an interesting list. So the number one, the most common, I don't know if they're in any order of frequency, but you have breast cancer on the list. You have lung cancer, prostate cancer, colon and rectal cancer, bladder cancer, melanoma of the skin, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, thyroid cancer, kidney and renal cancer, leukemia, endometrial cancer, pancreatic cancer. So those are the seem to be the most common. And just by cutting back on sugar, particularly sugared beverages, you can reduce your risk of all those cancers. Now, there are other things, obviously. For example, with breast cancer, we recommend checking your hormone levels. Estrogen dominance plays a role. Stress plays a role, and the two things are related. When you're under stress, your body stops making progesterone in preference to cortisol. So you can see how stress and your hormones play a role. So that's important. Lung cancer and cigarette smoking. But it's interesting that there are many people us getting lung cancer that never smoked. And we'll talk about what you can do in addition to cutting back on sugar intake. Then you have prostate cancer. And that's another interesting one, because you ask the doctor, why did I get prostate cancer? Or even ask another question, why is my prostate so large? And they don't have an answer for you. But it's really amazing that they have drugs to give to you. You know, and I ask the same question. If you say you have drugs that's supposedly going to relieve my symptoms or shrink my prostate, how come you had nothing to prevent all this from happening? When you talk about colon and rectal cancer, you're getting into diet in addition to just cutting back on sugar. And by diet, again, you want to eat healthy foods. You want to be careful how you prepare those foods, because they've associated grilled meats, for example, or barbecued meats, as increasing the risk. Now, it's not having barbecue once in a while. It's, you know, if you have a regular diet of grilling your dinner and it's red meat all the time, that may be an issue. Also, the other issue when it comes to colon cancer is the processed meats, you know, the lunch meats, because of the nitrates that are in there. Bladder cancer, another issue. Been associated with cigarette smoking because of the exposure to cadmium. So when I heard a talking head talk about bladder cancer, but it came up in the context, I guess the question was asked, the person had blood in the urine. Now, basically two types of blood, the type that you can see and the type you can't see. So the type you can't see is called microscopic hematuria. You can get that diagnosis from a urinalysis. So on the urine test, they always give you, if you look at it, it'll always say the color of the specimen, and then it'll tell you whether there's blood or not in there. In a man, they should never see blood in the urine. In a woman, you may sometimes see blood. But in both cases, you have to be aware of the possibilities with that. In a man, it may be related to an enlarged prostate. But in every case, the potential for pathology, something wrong with your kidneys down to your bladder, that may be causing blood in the urine. So you first would investigate the possibility of an infection, because that would be the most common reason. But if it persists, you have to do more tests to see what's causing it. Melanoma of the skin, an interesting cancer, because I want you to, use a lot of sunscreen, and yet the incidence of melanoma is not going down. In fact, from the time of the introduction of sunscreen, the incidence of melanoma has actually gone up. So it has to do with more than just protecting yourself from the rays of the sun. But I think sometimes the sunscreens give you a false sense of security. It doesn't give you 100% protection, and perhaps gives you the idea that you can stay out even longer than you normally would, and that creates the problem. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, associated with exposure to pesticides. There are a lot of chemicals in the environment that are carcinogenic. Thyroid cancer, a lot of these cancers, I'm going to go down the list now, thyroid, kidney, leukemia, endometrial, pancreatic. We don't know specific causes, but we know that you reduce your risk of all cancers if you try to avoid all the environmental toxins by consuming organic food as opposed to factory foods. So those are the important things, and I think we started off talking about sugar, so just pay attention, to what you're eating, and I think when you do that, you'll realize that probably you're having more sugar than you even thought, because it comes in so many forms, not just in the sweetened beverages that you're having, but in the carbohydrates, the grains, the cereals, the breads, the pasta. the rice, the potatoes, you know, something to be considered. Now, just want to make a point that using artificial sweeteners is not a good substitute for sweetened beverages. And since we're on the topic of things to avoid in your diet to help reduce your risk of cancer besides sugar, you know, in the processed meats such as bacon, sausages, sandwich meats, hot dogs, and ham, you have sodium nitrite. And so read the label, because you can get, you know, nitrite-free products in this category. And, you know, just read the label. Try and get organic, again, organic grass-fed sources so you can avoid the sodium nitrite. You know, I mentioned avoid the artificial sweeteners. Aspartame, for example, provides zero nutritional value and depletes your body from the nutrients of other foods. When our body processes aspartame in the digestive tract, harmful byproducts are created, which are associated with the formation of brain tumors. So you don't want to just to give up the sugared beverages, but all sweetened beverages, artificial as well as naturally sweetened. I didn't say give them up 100%. Really, you know, cut down, and the more you cut down, the better. Hydrogenated oils. That came about when everybody said, you know, cut back on butter. So everybody started switching over to hydrogenated oils like soybean, canola, corn oil. And they are unhealthy because of their high levels of omega-6 fatty acids. And they've been known to be associated or even cause heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. So go back to butter. Go back to organic butter from grass-fed cows. Much better choice. And if you're going to use oil on a salad, you know, get organic olive oil. And make sure it comes from a good source, because there have been reports that they are adulterating the olive oil sometimes, and then you're not getting pure olive oil, so that's important to be aware of. And that music means it's time for another break. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and when we get back, Janice and Merle, licensed nutritionists, will be joining us, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute, services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us now is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin. I just had a very, very interesting time at Tropical Financial Credit Union, where there is a weight loss contest underway, and we had some very good weight loss results. So every 2 weeks, the participants in the contest, they weigh in with me, and we talk over a little bit of a recipe, different exercise approaches, different ways that people can optimize their fat-burning capacity.
Now, this weight loss contest, I guess, started 2 weeks ago?
It started 2 weeks ago, yes.
So how much weight have some people lost so far?
Well, the winner was 2.5 pounds, which is just right on, you know, just a little bit over a pound a week. And they have been very focused on eliminating the whites. So bread, rice, pasta, those kinds of things, and of course, sugar. And then being very attentive to increasing vegetables, raw and cooked, minimizing fruit, 2 fruit servings a day, and lots and lots and lots of water and exercise.
Are they allowed to go on a weight loss diet?
Yes, they are very much changing their diets.
All right, because, you know, I think they can do better than that, especially at the beginning. You know, at the beginning of any weight loss diet, people lose a lot of weight because a lot of it is water weight. You know, there's a lot of fluid retention when you're not eating right. A lot of reasons for retaining that fluid. It could be high insulin levels. It could be the body's way of diluting inflammation. So when you start changing your diet, you know, insulin levels go down, the inflammation goes down, your body gets rid of all that water weight, so that makes a big difference. So, all right, you'll keep us posted. So you'll be going there again in 2 weeks, right?
In 2 weeks, I will be here at Tropical Financial in Miramar.
Are you a judge?
I'm just the weigher and the recorder of results.
Okay. So, Janet, I started off today's program talking about the importance of cutting back on sugar, particularly sugar-sweetened beverages, because of its impact on increasing the risk of cancer. And then we segued into the cancer-causing food ingredients that you want to avoid. So I mentioned the sodium nitrite, aspartame, hydrogenated oils. And the reason why, you know, I'm trying to point this out to people, there's so much you can do to lower your risk of cancer. Again, you know, the doctors aren't telling you this. They're just saying, you know, they're checking for cancer. They're saying, when you get cancer, now we're going to treat you. And my question to them is, if you don't know how to prevent the disease, how can I expect you to cure the disease, which they never do anyway? So next on the list is high fructose corn syrup. It's the biggest cancer-causing food ingredient out there next to refined sugars. Read the labels, high fructose corn syrup. It's in a lot of products. And besides cancer, it promotes diabetes and obesity, and they both increase the risk of cancer. It also raises insulin levels, so before you get cancer, you'll get some of the other effects of high insulin levels, which include high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. So you see a lot of benefits from making these little changes. I'm sure in that program you're involved in, the first thing, if they could just switch to water, that makes a big impact on the body's ability to lose weight.
It's interesting because as diverse as these participants are, that's how diverse the downfall is. Some of them, they have the downfall of sweets. They have an overriding sweet tooth. Some of them have this absolute craving for bread. Some of them an absolute craving for rice. And some using fruits instead of vegetables. So there's a lot of diversity into what are the issues associated with their weight gain and their inability to lose weight and break down fat. So we all have our weak spots, so to speak, and the idea is to find something that is satisfying as an option. So not necessarily to think that you have to totally give up or do without the favorite thing in your diet, but to absolutely minimize it, because most often it isn't something that is health supporting, but something that for one reason or another is very satisfying. So learn what the options can be for replacing the less healthful options, and then you enhance the potential for breaking down fat and losing weight. And as you said, the more you reduce inflammation, the less you will have to deal with the fluid retention. And that's one of the things that we discussed today. The idea that using alkaline food choices and minimizing acidic type foods in your daily routine, in your daily food choices, and the cleansing, detoxifying, anti-inflammatory benefits associated with using vegetables and a wide variety of different vegetables. So I had a list of the more alkaline vegetables that will achieve that alkalizing benefit in your body.
Was there any criteria as far as how many pounds overweight they had to be to get into this?
No, it was just people who were interested in refining their weight issue. And some people wanted to lose as much as 50 pounds, and certainly not in this time frame, but at least to get started in the routine that will lead to ultimately a 50-pound weight loss. And some people just wanted to get rid of that last 5 pounds. So there are people in the contest who have lost. One person has lost 100 pounds in the past year and a half. Another person has lost like 40 pounds in the past 6 months. So lots of people already on the road, and now we're just refining it.
All right. So now I want to get back to the top 10 cancer-causing foods. You know, earlier we talked about, you know, sugar and sweetened beverages, but there are a lot more things you can remove from your diet. And these are really simple to remove. If you just read a label, you know, there are lots of healthier alternatives. And one area are the genetically modified organisms, the GMOs, which have invaded our food supply. And you don't even have a clue to how much of our food supply is contaminated with them, because they are not obligated to list it on any labeling.
They're not obligated to list it on the label, but people can make informed choices by looking for the little blue seal that says non-GMO.
All right. So anyway, the GMO components of the food supply have never been tested long-term before entering the market. So, you know, how could you do that to a population of a whole country? You know, put things into the food supply without long-term testing. And now they're finding that GMOs may be associated with many life-threatening diseases, including cancer. And what are actually genetically modified foods or organisms? They've just played around with the genetic makeup of some of the ingredients that have been used to to make the seeds and then grow the produce. And what makes genetically modified organisms particularly dangerous is they modified those crops to be resistant to herbicides like Roundup. So they come with a big dose of these herbicides. So how do you avoid it? Again, you have to look not just GMO-free, because they use other herbicides. Even with GMO-free, you have to go for organic. The herbicide that's used with the genetically modified crops is glyphosate. It's promoted by Monsanto, but they also spray glyphosate on non-GMO or conventionally grown crops such as wheat, oats, and barley. And just this past March, the World Health Organization published a study classifying glyphosate along with insecticides like malathion and diazinon as probably carcinogenic to humans. Other researchers note that it is not a probable carcinogen, but a proven carcinogen. So, we're looking for ways to reduce our risk. Again, if you develop cancer because of high sugar intake or exposure to all these pesticides, how does chemotherapy cure the cancer when you haven't removed the pesticides or the sugar from your diet? It just doesn't make any sense. And the truth is, the chemotherapy doesn't cure cancer. Another artificial sweetener, we mentioned aspartame. You have acesulfame K, and that's a modified sweetener. It messes up your nervous system. It messes up your digestive system, and it's been linked to cancer as well. Another area, and this affects children. I think all these ingredients are probably far more important to make sure your kids aren't being exposed to it. But you have the artificial colors. They use that a lot in foods that they want to make appealing to kids. These are byproducts of the petroleum industry. And a study done by the Center for Science reported on the toxicity of 9 synthetic dyes commonly used in food and beverages. They found that these colorings contribute to allergies and hyperactivity in children while increasing cancer risks. So imagine, you start feeding a kid, an infant, when they start eating around, 6 months or so, and they're just eating these artificial ingredients. You can see how the accumulation over time is not going to be a healthy thing for them. And music means it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
When you support your probiotic status with Janabiotic, you're on the way to overall good health. Your brain benefits with Janabiotic. Your immune system benefits with Janabiotic. Your digestion benefits with Janabiotic. Who doesn't need that kind of broad support for their health and well-being? Enhance your health with Janabiotic. Available at Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Jana Juice provides you the antioxidant protection that is so important to support the health of your cells. Two easy-to-swallow capsules help to minimize the damage from free radicals, energize on cellular level, enhance your immune response, all with two capsules per day. Go to Janazon.com to learn more. Janazon.com.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with me is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we started off today talking about the importance of cutting back on sugared beverages and basically all types of sugar, natural as well as synthetic sweeteners. And then we got into a list of other ingredients found in foods that you need to be aware of. Easy to replace them, so it shouldn't be that difficult. Sugar's going to be the tough one. You mentioned the word associated with having difficulty in losing weight, and that's cravings for carbohydrates, specifically, though, the conversion of carbs to sugar, and that's what creates those cravings. And, you know, when you use the word cravings, Janet, you really mean people are addicted, you know, to that type of food. And it's difficult to break those addictions. But
it certainly is an addiction. And people might say, oh, we're overstating it to call it an addiction. But the truth of the matter is it is more difficult to overcome an addiction to sugar than it is to overcome an addiction to certain drugs. So we certainly are not overstating the importance of very gradually getting rid of the sugar in your diet. The sugar contributes to a spike in blood sugar chemistry. Then that spike leads to a precipitous fall in blood sugar chemistry, and when you are experiencing that fall in blood sugar, what you experience is a fatigue. You are feeling a little hungry. You are certainly experiencing cravings. So the more you work on getting sugar, artificial sweeteners, and highly processed foods out of your diet, the much less likely you are to experience cravings. Dr. Slavin, you were mentioning artificial coloring and how carcinogenic and the source of those artificial colorings, which are byproducts of another industry. The thing also that people might look at labels and think is rather benign is caramel coloring. Caramel coloring is not as benign as it would appear on those labels. It may have a variety of different sources that are very poor quality, and those are sources that for sure you don't want to be exposing yourself to on a regular basis. So many of the different soda products, those carbonated drinks, are problematic with regard to caramel coloring. So be really careful to read the labels.
And next on the list are chemical preservatives like nitrates, nitrites, benzoates. They're added to processed foods and fast foods to prolong shelf life. And they're highly toxic, and they accumulate in the body, and over time they're going to damage cells and tissues and lead to several types of cancer. Now, when I read that, I think about how in Europe, it seems that people go to the marketplace on a daily or every other day basis to get fresh food to eat. Very different than the way we do it in this country.
Unfortunately, very different than the way we do it in this country. And just a really good example of that would be cheeses. So if you're going to a street in a town in Europe, there would be a variety of different cheese shops where you would be offered traditionally aged cheeses, and each one of those cheeses is a source of beneficial probiotics. excellent for your lower digestive system chemistry, your gut chemistry. It allows those beneficial probiotics allow you to metabolize B vitamins very much more efficiently. Those B vitamins are going to be helpful for metabolism and energy, brain chemistry, all of that. And here in the United States, instead of getting traditionally aged cheeses with beneficial probiotics, what we're offered are processed cheese foods. And those processed cheese foods, unfortunately, don't contain the probiotic content that the aged cheeses have. So just another example of how here in the United States, we're choosing processed foods over traditional foods.
Yeah, and I was thinking, too, if you've ever seen the markets in Europe, you know, lots of fresh produce, you know, vegetables, fruits, and, you know, people, I guess, don't maybe have the room for these large refrigerators and freezers that we have in our homes here. So they have small refrigerators. So, you know, they're forced to also, you know, get the fresh food and then use it up. You know, who would want to eat food that never spoils? You know, haven't we heard those stories about, you know, Twinkies, for example, that never spoil? Or I've even heard some of the, you know, the hamburgers, the fast food hamburgers and things like that.
And when you see those foods that are so full of preservatives, artificial colors, artificial ingredients, ingredients that are the byproducts of other industries, we see that even insects and animals that typically would be nibbling on the food don't go anywhere near them.
That's true. I remember a story from years and years ago where they said that they're noticing that bodies are decomposing a lot more slowly because of the accumulation of preservatives from the food people have eaten. One last thing on the
list.
Yeah. Hexane extracted soy protein. So if you're having non-organic soy protein, they're using hexane to extract it. And again, that's, you know, not a healthy product. It's a neurotoxin, and it's a byproduct of a gasoline refinement. So, you know, we gave a list of foods to avoid to reduce your risk of cancer. But remember, at the top of the list, if you can only do one thing, cut back on the sugar or any sweetened beverage. But then, you know, read the labels. Or better yet, don't buy anything that has a label, because then it's natural. You know, they don't have to put labels on natural foods. They just have to put them on anything that's been processed. So I think that would be a good starting point. Because, Janet, you know, I started the, you know, today with a story from a patient who asked their oncologist, why did I get this cancer? And his answer was, bad luck.
You know? Wow. Oh, my goodness. No.
But that's the answer a lot of the oncologists would use. They don't have a clue as to why people get cancer. They don't have a clue how to prevent cancer, but they're experts in treating cancer. And I said, don't confuse the word treatment with cure. You know, then nobody's curing cancer. So the best thing for everybody to do is treat it. Now, is it true that some people get cancer and get a treatment and they don't have a recurrence? Yes. But what percentage of those people would have done okay if they never got treated? I think that's another part of the story that you never hear talked about, because the assumption is that the diagnosis of cancer is a death sentence, and everybody dies from cancer, so you must be treated. That's the message that's out there to continue the cancer industry. And but you know they're treating a lot of people that don't need treatment. They're over-diagnosing cancer. An example of that would be ductal carcinoma in situ. They call that cancer. It improves their statistics if you treat problems that aren't theoretically cancer, and you get a good result.
It's so interesting, Dr. Slavin, because when I was away last week, I was with the widow of a physician, and the physician had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and had had a stroke, and she was caring for him, and he did not accept any of the medications that were being offered to him. What he said is those things don't work, and the side effects associated with them are far more problematic than the diseases I've been diagnosed with.
And that's what doctors say when asked about various treatments, because they really know the problems with them. And that music means we've just run out of time. I'd like to thank our listeners. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.